Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Good meteorologist here.
Right? Yeah, it's like the weather service screwed everybody up around Portland by telling them, oh, it's just going to be a slight dusting, maybe a few inches. And they got a foot.
They got more than they bargained for. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. Of course, happy Saturday, maybe, to all of you. Who knows where you guys are at, what the weather's like. So, of course, we've got another Sausage Fest today. That's right. We've got my partner right over there in the corner.
Hello.
There he is. How you doing, Forrest?
Doing good. Glad to be back.
Absolutely. Of course, I got my old partner guesting in the room today. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, man.
He's always doing great because he's got his edibles with him. They're about to kick
in. That's right. They are kicking in.
Yeah. And, of course, I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
It's not really raining. It just you're imagining it, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Rain? What rain?
Thanks so much for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from rainy Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program's just about having fun, talking about our past week, and sharing some laughs with you.
Absolutely. You know, all the things that kind of experience in everyday life, you know, the embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do on this show.
Because those are the things that connect us all, make us human, and as you know, laughter is the best medicine.
And of course, to all of our listeners, old and new, we love it when you guys are part of the show, joining the conversation, and you can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Or say hi to us on Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Or say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And we've got a fun show for you guys today. We'll be doing, talking about, Cameron's going to be calling in. She'll be doing her trending. We got funny signs for you. Side gigs that pay a lot more money, I guess, than a regular job. And we're going to talk about our best and worst jobs and the truth about fairy tales, since it's National Fairy Tale Day, too, as well. Yep.
We need the thing that predicted, what was it called? Our sphere.
Magic 8 ball?
Magic. No.
Oh, no. Oh.
The
crystal ball?
Crystal ball.
Yeah.
We should do that and see if the rain's going to keep going or if we're going
to
get.
We could talk to the crystal ball later
or something.
Mm,
if we got time.
Yeah.
More reliable than Albert Hammond, I think, right?
Never know. Never know. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, did I mention that you can download past shows for free?
No, you didn't. Tell us.
Do you know where?
No, where can you go?
Well,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
YourWeeklyDose.com is one place, but you could also go onto iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search Your Weekly Dose, and hey, tell a friend. Thank you.
Glad we finally got that out.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely, man. Well, today's theme song, of course, It Never Rains in Southern California by Albert Hammond. One-hit wonder, and it's a song that I think does ring very true. Of course, it's a little bit about the industry, being in the entertainment industry, but at the same token, it's raining here, man. It's like, good God, we got a blizzard warning up in the mountains and everything.
Yeah, San Bernardino Mountains.
The mountains got, I know Big Bear, they said they got between 4 and 5 feet of snow. Not inches, feet.
Wow.
Yeah, that got dumped on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last couple of days, I've been seeing all the clouds go by in the window.
Towards the mountains.
Going towards the mountains, you know, and everything. And it's been nuts. I mean, the wind has, we've been getting gusts. Different parts of Southern California, gusts of up to 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
In certain parts and everything. Yeah. They were predicting that even the Hollywood sign may see some snow. I know Tujunga Canyon definitely got snow overall. So it's been really interesting on where the snow's been coming down.
Yeah. I'm usually one of those year-round shorts guys, that, you know, like wearing shorts.
Well, that's Steve.
Yeah, and it's like, we got to put on pants.
I've got long pants on for the first time, and I can't remember when.
I think the last time it was this cold, basically.
Probably.
Right?
Which is about a year and a half ago, I think, or something, or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah.
Because Steve rarely wears pants. And he got in the car today when I picked him up. I'm like, oh, you're wearing pants. He goes, it's freaking cold outside.
Right? Desperate times.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it's been crazy here in Southern California as far as our weather's concerned, because we have gone from, like, the mid-70s or whatever, which is kind of average to a degree for us here. You know, down now it's, I think, what, 46?
Yeah.
Where we're at right now, 46, 45 degrees. It's 28 up in Big Bear right now in the mountains and everything. Yeah. So, and like I said, you need chains. You need chains just to get up to the mountains.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine, you know, what the rest of the area is going to be like. I know high deserts also are getting some snow. So I know it was like out in Lancaster and Palmdale, you know, out in that area. They began
there was a guy on YouTube that regularly goes to Lake Mead to just look around and stuff like that.
Go, yep, there
this
it is.
This was just like a few days ago or something. Like he said, Lake Mead's already up 2 feet.
Ooh. Oh, that's
good.
I mean,
good. It's got a long way to go, but it's
still 2 feet. That's
on the way up.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And I know they're political-wise or whatever, I know they're trying to figure out what to do, because they were saying the other day that the snow is melting a little bit faster than what it normally does. So, but now with this new storm came in, hopefully that's kind of slowed it down, and trying to figure out where they're going to put that groundwater at and everything for the for our water supply. So, and see what happens, you know, there as well. But hopefully this kind of helps slow down that drought again. And you know, that we've been having for the last few years.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys are into Yosemite, but around April this year is going to be an incredible time if it doesn't flood. But I went there once after this kind of weather several years ago on like April 15th, middle of April. And there were waterfalls in there that you never see. It was amazing. There was so much water.
They got
everything.
More water coming down.
So it's probably going to be like that this year.
That would be great. That would be really
great. It's so beautiful. It's really, you know, and you look up some canyons and you go, wait a minute, what's that waterfall? And there's like three of them up there. Where did they come from?
Right. You never seen them before. And I'm sure 60, 70 years ago, or even 100 years ago, I'm sure they were coming down all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So have you gone camping up to?
We camped a lot and have camped a lot, but never Yosemite. Just
really?
Around California, but my dad liked to go to the off-the-beaten-path ones. He liked to get away from
like
everything.
Pull off the freeway and
just find a
kind
find
of
a
down, down a hill and
they'd be these,
around a tree.
Sometimes KOAs, which were a little bit more, I don't know, franchise. The
oh,
KOAs.
Yeah.
But other ones where he would just kind of like leave the money in a box on a post.
Where is
and then
he going?
We were up by like Mono Lake, or is that how you say it? Mono Lake?
Yeah, Mono Lake.
The Sierra Nevadas. Just these sort of just, we were out in no man's land doing it. So yeah, that was a lot of the camping he liked to do.
Interesting. So,
but not Yosemite. Maybe one day.
One day.
It's got all levels that you could want there.
Fear.
Everything from a luxury hotel down to just overnight backpacking.
Yeah.
My mom used to go
really
as a young girl and as a young woman also. She would go all the time. And, you know, I wouldn't mind going. I just don't want to do the drive.
Yeah, it is quite a drive.
I'd rather fly in or something, whatever, you know, just get me in there.
Getting a plane, parachute in.
I'll do that even. Yeah. I'll do that, just not in a Cessna, but I'll take a jet or something or whatever.
You don't like long drives?
I'm not, unless I'm driving it, maybe, yeah. You know, I'm just not, I think I had too many of them when I was a kid, or I felt like I had a lot, an awful lot of them, because I know we drove to Phoenix a couple of times, drove out to Arizona. We did a thing when we took the another trip where we went to the Grand Canyon, you know, and everything, and I mean, I think because it is, because the way my personality is, I get bored very quickly.
Mm. Are we there yet?
So, well, not just that, but it's like, you know, the desert itself is like, okay.
Ooh, look, more cactus.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents would say, enjoy the scenery.
I have for the last 5 minutes. Can it change?
Right?
Can it change? You know, and then we also drove up to Canada, which was a little bit different scenery.
Yeah.
So, which was kind of nice.
Okay.
That was different. I really enjoyed that trip. But then you're going, is there anything else but green? Is there anything else but green?
Right.
You go this way, you see dirt. And you go this way, you see trees, you know, so.
That's where headphones, you know, your Sony Walkman and batteries are really
important. Well, I can't do that when I'm driving, you
Not
know.
Not when you're driving.
Yeah.
That's true.
But, you know, but going up to Canada, that was a treat, you know, and we got to go across to, we went to Vancouver, and then we got to go to Victoria Island and everything there.
Ah.
So took the ferry over, and God, that place up there is just gorgeous.
Mm.
Really, really gorgeous up there. So, and of course, you know, got to see on that trip, you know, Oregon for the first time and Washington and Seattle for the first time and everything, you know, before Nirvana was even thought about.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was a fun trip. Matter of fact, on that trip, there was a place, I'm guessing it's by the old, and I'm putting quotation marks, the old Seahawks Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And it was right across, because I remember we were driving around trying to find a place to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally came across this hamburger place. Mm. And we're like, okay, you know, yeah, burger place. Oh, well, I don't care. We're hungry. Let's go. And we walked in, and it was my wet dream.
A hamburger?
Well, because I'm into model trains.
Okay.
So you sat in a booth.
Uh-huh.
And a train would pull up to your booth on the edge of the wall.
Uh-huh.
And the guy go, all right, what do we want to order?
Oh, through the train?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fun.
And that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And we're going, hello? Yeah, what do we want to order? Yeah, I guess I'll have a burger with this and that and fries, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you want to drink? What, sir? What do you want to drink? What do you want to drink? Oh, okay. Thank you. There really weren't any waitresses or anything.
Really?
Yeah. So the train would pull back, and then your drinks would come on flatbeds.
Oh.
And then they would go away, and then next thing you know, your burgers would come with your fries on flatbeds.
Wow.
And it was like, you know, those LGB trains, the real big ones, you know, kind of thing. And that's what they used.
Would there be a little hobo in there singing?
That would be kind of cool, though. You know, I remember Johnny Cash playing over the radio going, here's a train coming, you know. But yeah, so.
That's cool. It's cool to find
those little
I remember a place where they had a scale, and the kids were weighed on it, and they got charged according to how much they weighed.
And, really?
And I remember a place like that we somewhere in the Midwest. We were.
Oh, that's funny.
So I got on the scale and was like,
let me go to the restroom first.
Yeah,
take a dump.
Save Dad a few bucks.
Yeah, you just saved Dad $12.
Mom hits you in the back of the head. I told you not to drink all that water.
Go pee. Oh, my gosh. Well, speaking of all this food and everything else, should we catch up?
Catch up.
All right, let's go ahead and catch up with each other.
There was apparently some guy that survived for an ungodly amount of time on nothing but ketchup.
Ew.
I just read that yesterday.
Why?
He was stranded somewhere and that's all he had.
Wow.
Now
so
you know.
I guess ketchup has more in it than just a tomato.
Maybe. I guess you could.
Yeah. All right. Well, Forrest, let's go with you, buddy. Let's go with you first. How was your? Because last week we weren't here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were supposed to go camping with the boys.
I was supposed to go camping, but we all got sick. So.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, it wasn't COVID. It was just enough to kind of mess with you where you couldn't get out. So you know. Had
I almost
rest.
Felt like texting you and had I seen the text earlier, I was going to text you. Well, so can you make it in?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would have spread something. So yeah. When it goes through the house.
Oh, no, it ain't good.
We noticed one boy got it, and then the second, then I had it. And
curse that boy.
Yeah, you know, kids. So yeah. So and the cough kind of just kept going. But better now and feeling good. Glad to be back. Good news, bad news. I'm going to shoot something tomorrow. I'm going to play a doctor in a short film tomorrow that's filming. That's the good news.
Hey, that's a stretch from the caveman.
It is. I'm moving up a little bit. The bad news is he's a Nazi doctor. This is based off a true story where the doctors in World War II were sterilizing people that they considered. So this is based on that event. Uh-huh. And I'll be playing a doctor like that.
So we'll be playing an evil doctor.
Boo. Evil doctor. Correct.
Evil doctor. Wow.
Because this program's about laughter. Did I tell you about that earlier?
Well, mentioning Nazis, I guess that's the first step toward humor.
Yeah. Those evil doctors.
Yep. Rubs his hands together. Yes. So, little dramatic turn tomorrow. So, yeah.
That's kind of cool, man. Yeah. Where are you shooting it at?
Don't have my call sheet yet. So okay. Don't know yet. But somewhere in L.A.
That'll be fun, though.
Yeah, I'll let you know. Maybe take another picture of my evil doctor getup.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Give you a little mustache like Hitler.
Oh, no. I don't want to be driving home with that mustache. I'll have a razor and shave him.
That'll make
afterwards.
It look like Kevin Bacon in the Mutants. Was it the first Mutants film?
Oh, the X-Men?
Yeah, X-Men.
Oh, did he have a mustache in there?
I think he had a slight one, when he was a Nazi.
I'm going to ask him if they want me to shave to a mustache. Maybe
that'd be fun, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be funny.
Then it'll be
funny. Do you want me to put a little stripe on it? Like a dog like this, no?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Oh. We have ways of making you talk.
Shut! That might be a little comedic, I think. Missed it by
that much. We're coming after you, smart.
Yes, yes. And a monocle.
Maybe. Yeah, there you go.
Guy, I just turn everything comedic.
Dude, that would be hysterical, though, man.
I think that's not the mood they're looking for, but maybe.
But it would add.
It would add.
Do a bit.
It would certainly
doctor.
Add a bit, right? Throw some pratfalls.
See, do the serious one, you know, and they go, okay, that's cut. We can move on. Can I just try something here?
No,
just a little different. Please, I've been working on this for since I've been reading the script, you know.
You add a little levity to the to the heaviness.
No. See, and if you do have a nurse, you can call out Schultz.
Oh, Schultz?
Yeah. You know, like they did in Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'll think about it. I'll pitch it the director's way.
Oh, don't pitch. Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Just say, I got. I want to try something. It's a little different, you know. Can I just at least try?
I would see cutting room floor in my future.
And then can I have that?
Can I have it? Just
can
for
I
me.
Have that? Yeah, exactly.
This one's just for me.
Then you got a dailies, you know.
Yes, that's true.
You got your own dailies for comedy.
Yeah, comedy.
And serious.
And drama.
All at the same time.
He does it all.
Yeah, exactly. See? Thinking for you, baby.
Right,
thinking for you.
Thank you.
Oh, well, that's awesome, though, man. Yeah. I love it when I hear these stories, we get to do this and get to do that or whatever.
Yeah, it's fun. It's silly.
It is.
I mean, not the subject matter, but the acting and all that. Yeah.
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 Well, and also, I'm glad you're feeling better, too.
Thank you.
Being sick is not.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get past winter here and with our health.
Yeah. And get into spring and start going, warmth.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, cool. Steve, how was your week?
So well.
Last time we saw you.
It was 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, well. I was just hanging out. Mm-hmm. Enjoying myself. I've been recently watching old episodes of Columbo.
Oh,
I love it. Ooh. It's so interesting, and his character is just such a ballsy, just in everybody's face. Just he'll walk in anywhere and he'll say anything, and it's funny because then you realize it's all geared toward trapping the person that he knows did the crime.
Kind of sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun watching Peter Falk do that.
I love watching those kind of shows to see what the cities looked like back then, like the cars and the buildings
and decoration and stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What city? Yeah. I forget. What city was Columbo set in?
L.A.
It's L.A. Oh, yeah, I love L.A. LA. Like yeah, 70s back in L.A. The 70s. That's great.
It's just, yeah, he's what a character. Boy, he's got that cigar and he smokes it everywhere. I mean, everywhere, like in the hospital, the doctor's office. It's pretty funny.
I think recently I saw somebody shared a clip from Columbo an episode where Steven Spielberg directed it.
Yes.
Yes, it's directed the very first one.
Really?
Yeah.
And the shot was just this incredible cinematic shot, you know, of L.A. into the office and showing a Falk. And it was just a really cool shot to see.
Yeah. And, you know, if you actually look at Spielberg and some of the things, his history on what he used to do as a kid, some of it was just like going, well, why didn't I think of that? You know, and I know parts of it too is where he's told the story where when he was a young teenager, he would go to Universal Studios and ride the tram, you know, for the tour and everything. And back in those days, there was a halfway point where you stopped and then you would get back on another tram later on.
Yeah.
Well, he would hop off there and then sneak down when nobody was looking and go down to like the lower lots or whatever and find out what films were shooting and just walk around until he found a set that was a hot set and then just hang out and start watching them film.
And then speaking of trains, he had an obsession with in the Fablemans, they show how he had this obsession with trains when he saw it in the first movie or one of the first movies. Mm-hmm. And he like strove to recreate it. Mm-hmm. And the Fablemans is a pretty good movie about
I haven't seen that yet. I want to see that though.
Okay. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's supposed to be about his life.
Yeah,
whatever,
it's about
basically.
His life. Yeah. And a lot of good parts in it. And he had a challenging childhood. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, just for you guys, whatever, I pulled up a little bit of Peter Falk is Columbo.
Oh, good.
Lieutenant Columbo.
I came back.
So I see.
Just a few things to clear up, sir. I hope you don't think...
Do I understand that Comandante Sanchez has obtained a court order and an autopsy is going to be performed on my good friend Hector Rangel, God rest his soul?
Yes, sir, that is right, sir.
Ricardo
Montalbán? You see, there was a mark on the body that we couldn't quite understand.
What kind of mark?
A pinhole, senor. Maybe a needle mark.
What can that possibly have to do with Hector Rangel being killed by a bull?
Well, sir, you see, we think that as Commandant Sanchez and I believe that Hector might have been drugged, then killed by the bull.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Ricardo.
You are calling Hector's death a murder.
No, sir, not yet. But we are interested in whether or not you keep any drugs here on the ranch, especially tranquilizers.
Well, yes, we keep such drugs on the ranch. All ranchers must have these drugs to tranquilize and treat sick animals. Yes.
Well, there you are, sir. You see, I'm not as dumb about these things as I thought. I had an idea you might have those drugs. Do you think I could see them? And any records you might keep as to their purchase and use?
Busted!
I keep them here in my briefcase. It's made from fine Corinthian leather.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, welcome to Fantasy Island.
Chlorohydrate. I'll tell you, I don't know much about drugs, but that's the stuff they put in a Mickey Finn.
I'm sorry.
Of course. That's an American expression, knockout drops. They're used and they work about the same way as a tranquilizer does on a bull. They knock a man out, or they make him real dizzy if you give him a small enough shot. May I take this, sir, just to get a small analysis down at the lab?
Take all you want.
You know, I just thought of something I saw on a television show. How do you get close enough to those bulls to make an injection? On this show, they had that...
An air gun with hypodermic darts. Yes, we have one just for that purpose.
I thought you might have.
And I'm digging my grave while telling you that I'm the bad guy.
The darts. Is there anything else, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir. I'd like to see your books.
What for? We don't keep any records on the use of these drugs.
But you do keep a record of their purchase.
Yes.
If you don't mind, sir.
See, I get, you gotta agree with Columbo. He's like the nicest cop.
Yeah.
Do you mind, sir? Is it okay if I do this, sir?
Yeah. It's always that. One more thing.
He puts you at ease and gets you off your guard.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's and Peter Falk plays it so well.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Kevin Pollak? Do Peter
Falk?
Yeah.
He does impersonations.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does a lot of good impersonations.
Kevin Pollak is so good with that. And I remember he was with Johnny Carson, and he tells you how to do the eye thing with Columbo,
uh-huh.
you know, with Peter Falk, because Peter Falk had that lazy eye, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, basically what you do is you look to the left, and then you look at your nose. You look to the left, you look to your nose. You look to your and it creates that effect.
Really?
That, you know, if you just do you're doing this, and then doing that, and doing this, and then doing that. excuse me, sir. You know. Of course, we're doing a visual here for the podcast, but great radio. But, I mean, but that's what you do to do the character. You know, cross your eyes, look at your nose, and then look to the left.
Yeah.
And then cross your eyes and look to the left. Not your head, but your actual eyes.
Hurt yourself.
And he goes, and that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, and, but, oh, God, Kevin Pollak is so good
at that.
He really is.
He's on a podcast with a friend of mine. I think they finished it up. I'll do a little shout out to them. But they do an improvised podcast. And he has his own
where he interviews a bunch of celebrity friends, basically.
Oh, okay.
God, they're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he has a whole dossier on them and talks about their career and that. And oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've watched quite a few of those. And they're really, really, really good. Because they're done at one of the comedy clubs here in LA.
Yeah. I believe one of them was at Westside in Santa Monica. I know that he's involved there as well. So,
I'd love to go down there and just bust in on one of the shows.
They have a lot of good
shows. We're here to watch.
Yeah.
And can we get his autograph later?
I think one of the great things about Columbo is the people that wanted and got on the show, all of the really big stars from that time in the 70s, all were on the show. It's amazing. And then you see other people on the show that later you go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's so-and-so who's a big star now, but he was just a walk-on there.
At that time.
Sort of a Law and Order of the 70s.
Yeah.
Because that's how I feel with Law and Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this was a walk-on for this scene that we just played with Ricardo Montalban, because he was already a well-known actor.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he was on the downside, and this is probably before he got onto doing Fantasy Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is like that right in between of, I need work.
I'll play an evil rancher for
with
for
an
one
accent,
episode.
Yeah. But make sure I get it with Corinthian leather.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, so Columbo. Well,
yeah, Columbo. I've been kind of watching the new look Lakers.
Mm.
They did some trading in the last few weeks and stuff, and
are hopes on the rise.
Got a team now that seems like it plays together really well.
Okay,
good.
And they're one guy they got Vanderbilt. Is a guy who's been, we were talking about Jokic earlier.
Yeah.
He was holding him like 5 or 6 points below his average on defense.
Okay.
And he's now on the Lakers, and they're playing each other tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see you know, if they're able to put up with somebody that's really a good team. They just beat Golden State, but they didn't have Steph Curry, and there was someone else.
Mm.
And, it'll be interesting to see how they play against the really good teams like the Mavericks.
Okay. They're going for one of the last playoff spots, right?
Yeah, they're in I think they're still in 13th place right now, but they're only 2.5 games behind like 6th place.
Oh.
So it's all.
Yeah, I heard they're not that far back from being in the playoffs.
If they were to win like 5 or 6 games in the row and the other teams just play normal, they
got a good shot.
End up in 6th, 7th place.
Yeah, they got a good shot.
Okay.
Yeah. That's been my time.
Nice.
Okay. How about yourself, Sean?
You know, it's been busy. I mean, even though we didn't do the show last week, we threw a past moments and everything. Mm-hmm. So, and we got a lot of people that kind of were glad to hear a different past moment that we did, because we threw up Christian James' hand when he came in the second time. and I got to introduce you to him. Christian is, and for those of you who don't know, but you guys heard the show last week, Christian is a DJ here in Los Angeles, a former DJ, basically. But what he does is he takes music, a well-known song, and literally dissects it and breaks it down. So you only are hearing, let's say, the drums.
I remember you telling me about, about him, yeah.
And so for our past moments last week, we played it where he came into the room and was here, and we talked about that. And then he talked about how he's with Mark Thompson and how he got to interview his idol, which is from Genesis, Phil Collins, and how much of a big influence he was, you know. And we talked about that. It was a really fun interview, and he was in the room with us during that time period too. So,
nice.
But but it was a nice 3-day weekend because we had the holiday also. You know, the wife and I had a decent Valentine's Day, even though I worked, came home, and exchanged gifts and everything with the son. And we all had chocolate strawberries together, so that was kind of nice.
Nice.
And, but with the weekend, with the 3 days, it gave me enough time to work on the train layout. So I've added so much more mountains and stuff and everything, and got to work with the foam and stuff, and rebuilt my bridge and reconnected the track. So I haven't tested it yet to see how well it's going to run, but I've got to.
So it doesn't run into the bridge.
Well.
Or the mountains. Or.
Well, no, all that's all fine, but it's just that making sure that the connections are good, because I got to rewire certain things so the electricity flows a little bit smoother through the layout, because it's a, you know, decent sized layout. And so, because later on when I want to change it over to DCC, I want to make sure that the electricity is flowing through, not just have one connection for this big giant, you know, 4x8 kind of thing. I'm going to have a couple of spots so it flows a little bit easier and smoother, so that way the train doesn't slow down in certain areas or anything like that. So I've got to redo that, but added so much more scenery as far as creating the mountains and the side hills and stuff like that.
Do you model it after, like, a real location?
No. I'm thinking about certain areas, though, like, later on, because this is phase one for me.
Uh-huh.
So the whole layout, if you guys can imagine it, the whole layout is going to be 3 4x8 sheets of plywood or sections, basically. So it's going to form a big, giant U. So then I have 2 4x4 sections that will connect the corners of each of the 4x8s. Okay. So on the left, if you're standing in the middle of the U, the left side is very country-esque, very open area, woodsy kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Then as it goes around to your right, then it kind of goes into a suburban kind of a thing.
Okay.
Then as it goes into the last part of the U, then it goes into a city, like a downtown LA kind of a thing or whatever. So that's the big master plan. So what I'm working on right now is just the forest area.
Okay.
And that's it. So I want to get that up and running. But my wife gave me the idea of also trying to make sure that every section can also operate on its own. So if I just want to run trains on this layout, I can. So, because if you think about it, it's going to be three different layouts with two conjoining sections.
Okay.
So,
in the city, you should put little gang members that tag.
Oh, dude, I'm going to have it all.
Hands up.
Oh, yeah, because that's the fun part later on.
In the mountain section, you put that guy from Deliverance that's got Ned Beatty bent over a log.
Playing the banjo?
Yeah.
Well, I actually, like, there's one side rail, I don't even know what they call it, because I'm not, like, the typical guy who says, oh, well, you got to use a 445 or 337 or whatever track on this. Like, screw that. I'm doing the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And, but I saw where, a sidetrack, basically an offshoot, where I want to put one of the DeLorean from Back to the Future on the rail and just have it sitting there.
Nice.
You know, kind of a thing. And then there's another one where I saw something the other day on eBay where it's a saucer, a flying saucer UFO that has, like, crashed into the dirt. So I want to put that on, like, one of the mountains, just hitting there or whatever, put, like, hikers and stuff.
Yeah.
And just do all these little things, you know, afterwards.
Nice.
But I got to build all the other stuff up first, you know. So this last weekend was just perfect for that, because it was 3 days of I can work on this, I can work on that, and, you know, just build it up more and everything, get it to where I want it. So, which is kind of nice.
You could put in a Hydrox factory.
I could. I really could. I actually could. Or find a truck or whatever that says Hydrox on the side of it coming down the road. Exactly. So, and then last night we went to a play in La Mirada. It was done. It was a play for kids, basically. I forgot what the company was, but the way they present it, though, it's for young children.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they were doing
Phantom.
No.
Phantom Projects? Okay.
No, something else, though. But they were doing Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Oh, live?
Yeah.
Was it a musical?
It was a musical. Yeah.
Okay. Was it good? Yeah.
For what it was and the way it was presented, yes, it was very good.
Oh, nice.
I enjoyed it. Roman really liked it because he has read the books, and that's one of his favorite authors.
Uh-huh.
Hates the movies.
Ah.
Because the movies did not represent.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and we were talking about it last night, that I guess that the people who did the script for the movies presented it to the author, and he was telling them everything that was wrong with it, and this is what they need to correct. And they kind of went, okay, screw you, and did their own version anyway. So it's like, well, why ask the author?
Right, right.
You know?
They're doing a series, I hear, that's coming soon, that maybe they'll get it more true to the
hopefully
author.
Yeah, and that's what Roman's kind of hoping for too.
The
TV show version.
It's interesting.
So we'll see. But this play, it was, you know, generated for those kids, I would think, you know, 10 years old or a little bit older, you know, or younger kind of thing. So, you know, the ones who are really reading those books. And so, because a lot of the actors played multiple characters, and then they had to move the sets themselves and this and that and everything. That always bothers me, kind of a thing. But I'm like, oh, okay, but I get it, considering the kind of company that it is.
Yeah.
But there was this one Asian actor who played three different roles. And, I mean, he did a great job. Because with each character, he really developed a different voice and a different way he moves. Mm. And everything. And he was really, really good. I was really impressed with him.
That's the theater where Kathy Rigby used to be Peter Pan all
yeah.
the time. The
yeah.
La Mirada.
Yeah, and that's where her production company comes out of.
Yeah, okay.
Every
yeah.
time she does it, yeah.
I did a show there in 1988.
Who
yeah?
cares?
Yeah.
So anyway,
I wanted to hear more about that.
He's jealous.
Yeah. I'm in an Academy Award winning film, too.
Yeah.
You know,
all
so.
Right.
What can I say?
You know, bite me, okay? I'm still looking for my first Grammy. And I'm trying to go up against Weird Al, you know, in certain categories. So.
We're still working on all four of the EGOT, the E, G, and the O and the T.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to get one of them.
So, but I do have some good news, though, is that the band that I'm working with, we've kind of trying to decide which name to go with. We're either trying to go with either, was it Funky Shatter? Or a Shattered Day.
How do you... we've had to come up with names when I've been in improv groups, and that's always been like a hit or miss thing. Like, how do you guys approach the name? Do you just pitch things out, or you have a certain method?
I do. I mean, because you want something catchy. You want something that's going to stand out, you know, and be truly representative for yourself.
Right.
So when I was with the other band, it was like, okay... We're doing different genres of music as a cover band. We're not necessarily doing the number one hits per se, but we are doing popular hits. So we're just a bit off. Mm. So therefore, we're kind of creating our own mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a play with that, and I came up with the name Mixtape Madness.
Mm.
You know, and that way it gives a little bit difference of what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, because that way also each set could be a little bit different.
Yeah.
This is the 70s set. This is the 80s set. This is, you know, so it's a different mixtape.
Mixtape match.
Every time we're doing a set.
Nice.
So this one with the band that I'm with, my buddy Reggie's part of the 420 community. So he makes his own gummies. You know, he has his own company doing that and everything. And so,
his eyes rolled back a little bit.
And he's like, oh, gummies.
I'm singing that song in my head.
Gummy. Oh my God. You saw the beginning of the show. So with that, I mean, Reggie wants to obviously be part of the 420 community because he's getting a lot of people asking him to perform there. The thing is that recently Reggie got involved with something else with ESPN. So now, because he's a pickleball coach, so now we're trying to figure out, okay, we need a name now that won't offend people because of the 420 community. Yeah. They're going to go, oh, they're pot smokers and blah, blah, blah,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And a name that the 420 community will recognize.
Okay.
So I found out that, was it a marijuana concentrate, a nickname for that is called Shatter.
Shatter.
S-H-A-T-T-E-R.
Shatter.
So I actually said, okay, that could be the code word.
Uh-huh.
So what can go with that?
Uh-huh.
So you can actually go online and find like a band name generator.
Like and an I put AI thing?
Kind of.
Yeah.
And they've been around for years though.
Okay.
And so I put the word in Shatter.
Uh-huh.
And so it came up with different things. Funky Shatter,
uh-huh.
Magic Shatter,
uh-huh.
whatever. And so I took the ones I thought that were pretty cool. And so now we're going to put it to a vote between the band.
Okay.
And figure it out. My two favorite is Funky Shatter
uh-huh.
because we're a funk band.
Uh-huh.
And but also Shatterday, it's a play on words of Saturday. And every day is a Shatterday.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See
how I did that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
So we got to figure it out. And that was it. I wanted a name for this band that would work both where people who are not in the 420 community
uh-huh.
have no clue what Shatter
it's
means.
It's just a little nod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't know about
yeah.
it until they listen to the podcast. And and then kind of go, well, what does that mean? Well, Shatterday. Well, you know, it's a play on words, you know, kind of thing. Oh, okay. And but yet the 420 people will know. Yeah, there you go.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, okay.
It's a it's like a solid.
Steve's got a photo of Shatter.
Yeah,
on his,
yeah.
On
a solid what?
A solid liquid, I guess. I see.
A solid liquid.
Ah, one of those.
It's ice.
It's an extract. Really solid and translucent.
That clears it up.
There you go. It's wet, yet it's dry. Wow.
So anyway, the band though. So now we're gonna have our first gig on March 18th.
Mm.
So we're very excited on doing that.
Cool.
And it's gonna be at a tennis club in Fountain Valley, where they're having pickleball tournaments, and ESPN is sponsoring it.
Ooh.
So yeah,
nice.
That's
nice.
What we're hoping
Ooh.
For.
Nice. You need a grip.
I need a guitar tech is what I need for damn sure. That's no doubt about that. So, so that's what's been going on. So I'm kind of excited. A couple of things up on the horizon and everything, and pretty excited about that. So we'll see what transpires. So,
very cool.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about it overall.
Did you know that Shatter offers the benefits of cannabis in a highly concentrated compact form that is popularly dabbed or vaped?
Dabbed or vaped.
They use solvents like butane and other hydrocarbons to get it that way.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. I like the sound of that.
Everything you always want to know about Shatter.
Shatter. Shatterday. Shatterday. There you go. Shatter. Exactly. Shatterday. All right. Well, you know what? We're trying to... Now, Cameron's not here, though, of course, but we want to give her a call real quick and see if she can still do her trending with us. So, let's see. Cam, are you there? Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. I hear you, but we're not connected for some reason.
We don't hear you.
All right. There she is. Yeah, I hear her now.
Hello.
Hi, Cameron.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. How's morning. It going?
Good, sweetie. How are you doing?
I am definitely better than when I talked to you a couple days ago. My back is still, I'm struggling, but, and of course I told you I had the flu this week, but that's over. So that's great.
Wow.
So now I'm just really trying to take care of myself, taking care of my back. Hoping for the best that it just, you know, gets stronger and better and all of that.
Yeah. Is it okay if we say what kind of happened to your back, or you want to keep that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So apparently you had, what, two slipped discs, I think is what it was?
Yeah. I think it's kind of all the same, but they referred to them as bulging discs. So they're being, you know, compressed between my vertebrae bones, so they're pushing on nerves that surround that area.
Her and her wife were having a one wild night and something went wrong, basically, is what happened.
That must have been it.
You can only get thrown against the headboard so many times.
The only time it's worth it.
And you threw your back out.
I threw my back out, So I had a couple days, not consecutive, where I had spasms, and it was just awful. So I'm still kind of... I'm healing from all of that.
Not good, not good. Well, sweetheart, we do hopefully you start feeling a little bit better and everything. And
thank you.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, those kind of spasms and stuff, they're not fun at all.
They are not.
No, no.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we still want you to talk to you and to do your segment and everything. So are you ready?
Sure. I am absolutely ready. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Let's get your music going then.
I've always loved that. I don't know why you picked it or how you picked it, but I've always loved that intro music.
It sounded familiar.
You know.
All right. So this week, last Sunday, actually, the BAFTA Awards, the British Academy Film Awards, were on February 19th. So I'll give you some of the most popular category winners. Best actress was Kate Blanchett in Tar. Mm-hmm. Best actor was Austin Butler as Elvis.
It's going to come down to them for the Oscars, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. Best director, Edward Berger for All Quiet on the Western Front. Oh. And best picture was All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh. Wow.
I know. So if these awards have anything to say about what's going to happen at the Academy Awards held here in LA coming up on March 12th, that's going to be an exciting show.
I think also what's going to determine it is I think you were talking downstairs earlier this morning that the SAG Awards were coming.
Tomorrow
so
night.
That's going to help determine it. And also the Directors Guild, because those are really good indications of what's going to be, who's going to win the Oscar.
Yeah. So we will see what happens. Have you guys seen All Quiet on the Western Front?
Not yet.
It's been too quiet for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I prefer the East because it's noisier.
I would describe it as like beautifully tragic. I just thought it was a wonderful film. But
that's what I heard.
Like,
yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's a war film, so it's absolutely tragic.
Wow.
But it was great. I thought it was great.
Good deal.
All right. Next, on Thursday of this last week, it's more Alec Baldwin news. Alec Baldwin entered a not guilty plea for involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of his film Rust. And now, so there's that. But just yesterday, Friday, he announces that they will continue shooting the film in spring of this year, moving the location out of New Mexico and into Montana.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So not only that, but they're not only continuing the filming of this movie, but they also got the green light for a documentary style film where they'll document the continuation of the filming of Rust.
Interesting.
Yeah. And within that, they will pay tribute to the works of cinematographer Helena Hutchins.
Now, Forrest, you're kind of shaking your head on that. What's the reason for that?
It reminded me of when, was it Brandon Lee passed away during The Crow?
During The Crow.
And I remember watching The Crow and not being able to get into the movie, you know, to immerse yourself as you do in a movie.
It's distracting.
It is. It is. So I was just shaking my head thinking, I like the documentary idea and paying tribute. Mm-hmm. And I think I heard that they had the family involved. But anyway, I just don't see myself seeing that movie, the movie itself.
Right.
Yeah. I think when it gets to the news like this, I kind of see your point on it. But I mean, there's been so many other incidents where accidents have even happened on a set.
Yeah.
I mean, where was it the big one was Twilight Zone.
With the helicopter crash. Yeah,
they still had to continue filming on that.
Yeah,
you know, and then
that was horrible.
Yeah, but there's something that you don't even know about. Like I found out not that long ago that there was a stunt person on one of the Harry Potter films that died during one of the stunts.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh,
so
I don't think I heard that.
Yeah, so I mean, things happen, but production has to continue. So I can see why Baldwin's doing that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is it good for the publicity of the film itself? Will people go out and see it? Maybe, maybe not. I'm thinking not because of the bad publicity. Because like you said, that's all they're going to think about. Oh, is this the scene where
where's
she got shot at?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And that's going to be the hard part.
And then also, just to kind of round this out, if you guys haven't heard, in a settlement with the producers, including Baldwin of the film, Matthew Hutchins, which is Helena's widower, has been brought onto the set of Rust as an executive producer.
Wow. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
That's really,
so I just
really
think that's also interesting, because that could make people sway of like, oh, well, if he's okay with it, then maybe I'll see them. But then it's also like, how did you come to a settlement where you're now working on the set where your wife died?
It's not going to be the same set, like you said, because they're moving it to Montana.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some separation there.
The film, yeah.
But the same film, but separation there because of the location. But also, I mean, there's been a settlement between the family and the producers of the film on a wrongful death settlement. So that's already been settled. But now, like you said, there was something else that the DA pulled back on because of a certain law that wasn't in effect at the time. And they were trying to charge Baldwin with that and the armorist.
They lowered it to involuntary manslaughter from
worse. Yeah, but they got rid of that one, though, because they said, okay, we're not going to do this, but we're still going to move forward with the involuntary manslaughter, which I think is fair because they're responsible. And it comes down, I've always said it from day one since we've heard about this, it comes down to the armorist.
Yes.
It was her responsibility no matter what, period.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, and you should not have left the set. And if you left the set, you should have said that I'm taking the guns with me. Mm. And that comes with her inexperience.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Guns on the set, you're on the set.
Exactly.
Period.
You know, when I did my short film or whatever out in the desert, you know, back in, what was it, November or whatever, not only was I one of but I was also the armorist. And I showed every person, I showed all the producer, which was Nia, I showed the director, and I showed my co-star how the gun is loaded, how the gun works, and if you want to fire it yourself so you understand it, here you go. And they did that. So they knew when it came down time to shooting it, how safety was going to be.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you've got to do that, period.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. What's next, darling?
All right. Let's move on. So we lost an actor this week. Richard Belzer passed away. He was known for playing Detective Munch on Law and Order Special Victims Unit. You know, he played that role for 23 years.
Wow. Did he really?
Yep.
He did.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
I know that there were years like in between that. I think he probably took some time off and things like that, but he came back at some point. So just a 23 years of playing the same character.
I didn't even realize Law and Order was on that long.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very funny guy, too.
Yes, he was very funny stand-up.
Yeah, stand-up.
Yeah, because he also worked with SNL.
In the 70s, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, okay, whatever. Matter of fact, because I remember seeing a quote from Lorraine Newman, who is sister to our friend, Tracy Newman.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine made a comment about him or whatever, how fun of a guy he was.
Nice.
So, yeah. So sad.
I see. Yes. He will be missed. What an incredible career. All right. And then my last one for you. It's going to be a little bit of a guessing game, so prepare yourselves. Unless you've heard it already, but I'm going to tell you anyways.
Broccoli.
A woman left an iPhone that she was gifted in the box since 2007. Fully packaged, never opened. She decided to try selling it to see how much she could get in an online auction. So I'd like for you guys to guess how much this iPhone sold for.
I'm going to say unboxed, 3,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, I was thinking nothing, like $5 or something.
Okay.
I read the article, so I'm not going
to
say it.
Oh.
You don't get to play.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys will not be ready for this then. It sold for $63,356.40.
You believe that?
What?
That 40 cents just pushed it over the edge
pushed
there.
Pushed it over.
Because it's like a collectible?
It's unboxed.
I have no idea. Obviously, it's not going to work. So maybe they spent that much in hopes of like in 50 years, it's going to be worth way more than that. I have no idea. But
just because it's rare.
It's rare.
Because it's so rare that you won't find anything
a
like
brand
that.
New one like yeah. that.
I guess it's like the like a baseball card or a comic yeah. book that was never opened.
Sure, that's what
$63,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like the day and age that we're living in. Wow. It was baseball cards. It was things like that. Now it's like technology pieces. So man, keeping them around. So.
That makes me wish I should have kept my Nokia.
There you
go. Well, I don't know about that.
never been flipped.
Yeah, there you go. Oh my gosh. Well, cool. Thank you.
All right, you guys. That's all right, darling. All I have for today.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, do you want to join us for the game later?
I will. I'll text you because I'm not 100% sure I'll be available.
Okay.
It would be fun, but I'm 100% sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just text us and let us know.
Okay. I'll let you know.
All right, sweet. You have good and be careful.
Take care.
And take care of yourself. Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye.
All right.
Bye. Bye. I do like your theme too.
Oh yeah. Trolley cars just makes me think of like San Francisco trolley car. You know.
Yeah. It's labeled traveling something or whatever. So yeah, but I mean, I just like it. I think it's a good thing for her for trending. So. It works.
I love goofy music.
But it works, you know. That's the cool thing about it. So, alrighty. Well, you know what? It is now time for some funny signs. Because you know what? There's nothing that makes us laugh than signs themselves that people will put up and say the darndest thing on a sign itself. And yes, I'm stalling so I can find the damn bed for this. So, here we go. Found it.
Did you see that meme during the employment thing where it says long-haired freaky people can now apply?
Oh, can now apply.
No. I didn't see it.
That's pretty funny.
That is, but it's funny.
That's all right. Elon Musk's favorite band. Tesla.
Look at you pulling that out of here. That just came out.
Just waiting months to say that joke.
But REO Speedwagon? No.
No.
Or is it Foreigner?
Foreigner.
Foreigner. Oh.
No Foreigner. Please, no Foreigner.
I'm going to pull
no,
a Foreigner.
No, please, no Foreigner.
REO Speedwagon?
Went to the
forum and no Survivor preference. Opened for REO Speedwagon. It was amazing.
Their Eye of the Tiger, right?
It was a, yeah.
Wow.
Survivor, yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Gung,
gung, gung.
Yeah.
We got there just a little bit after it started, and you could hear it out in the parking lot.
I bet.
It was like, what is going on?
And of course, everybody was going, bum, 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 bum.
Start running up steps.
everyone was out of their seat. Oh, too funny. All right, well, here we go. Funny signs, guys. Attention, the 9th floor has been temporarily been moved to the 15th floor.
It's a lot of work. Texting while driving. Oh, sell no.
Oh, I like that. It's punny.
It's punny.
If attacked by a mob of clowns, go for the juggler.
Now, this was a sign on a toilet at a Home Depot, and it said, ask an associate for a demonstration. Really? Really?
You can get one of the day laborers to do it for you.
Well, like, there's like, I forget what movie it is, but, the couple's retreat.
Uh-huh.
And there's a scene where the grandfather is taking care of the kids, and they're at the hardware store. And the kid thinks it's a real toilet.
Oh, and he starts using it.
And he starts using it. And he goes, what are you doing? He goes, just relax.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Washing instructions on a tag for clothing. Wash inside out. Remove child before washing. Made in China. Oh, that was my mistake.
I left it. That was that thumping sound.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. It was the kid. I left the kid in.
Okay, we guarantee fast service, no matter how long it takes.
Oh, I like that. If cats could text you back, they wouldn't. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very, very true.
Cats.
They'd ghost you.
Yeah. Here, if your thighs touch, you're one step closer to being a mermaid.
I don't know why, but that's funny. Holy crap.
That's sad but true.
Oh, I guess this is at an eating establishment. Order in the voice of Sean Connery and get 10% off. Well, some French fries.
Chicken, not stirred.
All right. Kids greeting their mom with a sign at, I guess you'd like at an airport. And the sign says, "Welcome home, mommy. P.S. We're out of underwear, and we don't even have any right on right now."
Jeez.
What a sign to be welcomed
right?
to. Mom, we're screwed.
This one must be in a bathroom. It says, "Please urinate with precision and elegance."
Okay, I can understand precision, but how do you do it with elegance?
Yeah.
Do you hold your pinky up while you're holding it or something? Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of
too much.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had trouble with the aim. You know, but now elegance?
Yeah.
I guess this is like a library or something. Post-apocalyptic fiction has now moved to our current affairs section.
Mm. End times, yep.
This is another one.
This is yours.
Oh.
No, his.
Oh, wait a minute.
We'll change up the order? All right.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's okay. You screwed up. It's okay. We'll just go around a different
did
one.
Did I?
Yeah. We still love you, Steve.
Oh, I was supposed to do this one.
He was right. Steve was right.
Steve was right?
Yeah, you're up.
I'm up?
Yeah, we're going clockwise.
Are you sure? Okay.
See, clockwise.
All right, okay. This is going to be at a restaurant, and this is the name of the restaurant. Frying Nemo Fish and Chips.
Oh.
I suppose to.
That's the alternate ending to Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo we're Frying Nemo.
Frying Nemo.
Fish and Chips.
I don't know where this sign is, but it says, "Do not breathe under the water."
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes. I would not breathe under the water either.
Well, I've been tempted
by the fruit of another.
By the fruit of another. America is the best country in the nation.
True.
Well, no shit, Sherlock. I mean,
also the worst country in the nation.
Nation, exactly. It's the only country in the nation. Yeah. Well, unless you're from Nebraska, then it's totally different over there, too. Yeah.
Texas is a little bit
different. Oh, Texas. Ooh. Yeah.
Florida's its own.
Yeah. Yeah, Florida definitely has its own. That's for damn sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All righty.
Oh, geez.
The first 5 days after the weekend are the hardest.
That's true.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Like, you've got anything to worry about over there. Mr. Edible.
Are there 5 days?
Is it just one long day for you?
It is.
More or less.
And it comes in, it gets dark, it gets light, it gets dark. And
oh, I'll be sitting there going, wait a minute, it's 6 o'clock.
But what day?
At what? 6 in the morning? Wait a minute. What?
This sign is above the dog, a dog water bowl. Water for your dog or short people with low standards. We don't judge.
There you go. Political sign on the lawn. Everybody sucks. We're screwed in 2024.
Mm-hmm. And this one is was for a house selling. Not haunted. House for sale, River City Realty.
Mm-hmm. And finally, do not leave your drink unattended. The cat is an asshole. Every cat is an asshole.
Have you seen those things on YouTube? There's shorts and there's ones where the cat's sitting there and he's moving something toward the edge of like the cabinet. And he gets it just to the edge and the guy goes, "Hey!" And he knocks something off of the table, and then he takes a cat and he beats the table with this stuffed cat, and the cat looks at it and he goes, and he starts moving the thing back away from the edge.
That's smart.
There you go, man. Well, you know, gigs, and you know, hopefully, you know, everybody's still working out there and making a good living and everything, but side gigs sometimes can bring in a decent size income, depending on what it is. And have you done side gigs before, right, Forrest?
I'd have to think about it. I I tried selling online a little while. I guess that would count as a side gig, okay. Like selling like used clothes or eBay and stuff.
Yeah,
but I didn't do it like hardcore, so I didn't make a whole lot of money. Just some, like, change here and there.
Enough to maybe go camping or something,
or to buy more crap off online that I don't need.
Yeah, like for me, I mean, I'm teaching is my side gig, you know, and that helps me buy all my equipment basically. You know, so it's kind of cool. Yeah, so I just, you know, save up and pay for it, and it's mine.
Yeah.
How about you, Steve? Any side gigs through the years? I'm sure.
I've had multiple jobs, but not really.
Like a little side gig?
Side gig. Well, I taught drawing.
Okay. Like stick
for
figures?
For a while. Yeah, you know how they, like, yeah. My specialty was the tripod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tripod guy.
I want to know who his students are.
Five-year-olds.
Yeah.
I like to draw the tripod guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, here's some side gigs that can pretty much make you richer almost than a full-time job. So I thought some of these are actually kind of interesting here. Lawn care professional. Average salary is about $55 an hour.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want to do a little something on the weekend, you want to get out or whatever, you know, hey, not bad. $55 an hour.
Okay.
That's pretty good. This one I'd never heard before, but it kind of makes sense, I think, in today's society, though. A task rabbit. So, in other words, you join this website called Task Rabbit. You earn money by completing every day errands and tasks for other people in your area.
Oh.
So you go to taskrabbit.com and you select things that you're willing to accomplish for other people. And they basically, you can set your own rates on that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like up in the air, you know, $100, $200, whatever it is. You know, it depends on how bad the person wants you to do that task.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool.
Cool.
This one was interesting. A frequent flyer specialist. An average salary is between $80 to $150 per project.
What does that mean?
So I guess the side gig is a frequent flyer specialist is perfect for those who travel often to understand how to maximize the frequent flyer miles to receive the best deals.
Oh, you like research when people want to book?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Right. Now, my dad did this, and I think he probably did a little bit better than what they're saying here, though. But my dad was a bookkeeper. $30 an hour.
Uh-huh.
I think my dad charged way more than that. You know, that money, because I wouldn't have a father between January and April because he would do people's taxes and bookkeeping and stuff. So he was, you know, he'd do his regular job. And then after that, he would come home, maybe have dinner or go straight to a client's house and do two or three clients, you know, a night. And that money that he collected basically took us to Mexico twice.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't mean TJ. I mean, like, we went to Mexico City and Guadalajara and Acapulco twice.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Hawaii.
Guadalajara.
We went to Hawaii three times because of it, you know, in other vacations that we got to take and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice, you know, to have that.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, you can definitely make it, put it aside. There's your family vacation.
Yeah.
So really nice. This one I thought was kind of cool. A city guide writer.
Okay.
City guide what?
Writer.
A city guide writer.
Writer.
Oh, like you review.
Okay. Right. Okay. Exactly. So if you love your city, if you have a passion for writing, and a side gig as a city guide writer might be ideal. According to the Business Insider, real estate and tourism business often hire local writers to craft city and neighborhood guides. And with that, you can make anywhere between $40 to $500 a project.
Yeah.
You know, so if you even get the medium on that or whatever, even, you know, $250, do that a couple of times a week.
Interesting.
Not bad at all. This one seems pretty logical. In online instructor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of anything or whatever, you know, $30 an hour. Fashion consultant, if you're really good with that, you know, or you're from the West Side. Average salary is anywhere between $50 to $500 an hour. And let's see, this would be for my son, which is sign language interpreter.
Oh.
You can average anywhere between $36 to $40 an hour.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That makes more money than me, especially right now.
he just put his middle finger up at you.
Oh, that's a good sign.
That's a good sign, yeah. Yeah. I say that because he's taken 4 years of ASL. That's
nice.
So, which is really cool because at the end when he graduates, he'll actually have a seal on his diploma saying he's bilingual.
That's great.
Which is cool.
I'm seeing it more and more in places where they're providing subtitles and ASL.
And everything. So, which is really cool. So, I mean, you know, averaging, you know, your first job is between $36 to $40 an hour and you're 18, 19 years old. Wow. You know, I can go to him to borrow money.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Now, this is something I never heard of, though, but it's called NetSuite Administrator. I guess NetSuite is a software program used by companies to manage their businesses' processes in a single system. It can provide valuable in terms of a side gig potential because you can make about $70 an hour if you know how to do this program and work for
What's
a company.
What's it called?
It's called NetSuite Administrator.
NetSuite Administrator.
Steve's thinking right now. and of course, I think this is one that a lot of people try to do. Is being like a disc jockey.
Oh.
You know, regular DJ going out. Now, we're not talking radio disc jockey, though. But, you know.
Parties and weddings.
Parties, corporate events, weddings, birthdays. Yeah, exactly. You know, you can make a good living off of that. I know a buddy of mine who, you know, can make $2,000-$3,000 on a weekend.
Yeah.
Because of the weddings and stuff, whatever. People willing to charge it. And you can make about $125 an hour.
Yeah.
So, it's yeah.
And I've done that.
And if you got a five-hour gig.
A long time ago, I had a friend who every time a new album came out, didn't matter who it was, he would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the ultimate collection of all the popular songs. This is back in like the early 70s.
Oh, the K-Tel days.
Yeah, and I would DJ the dance and he would play the music and it was so much fun.
Wow.
But I didn't get paid for it.
Bummer.
Yeah, so there you go. So there's some side gigs that can... You know, just some ideas if you earn some extra money.
Nice.
Worst job, best jobs you guys ever had?
Ooh, Steve, you said that you had a lot of jobs.
Yeah, I've had so many. Yeah, we did a... on my 50th birthday, we did a thing. We had a bunch of people there, and I made a list of everything I had done. And... my girlfriend at the time, Brenda, she would read, you know, down the list
things.
and people would decide what did he do that or not do that and everything. And the list was so long and people kept going, no, everything on the list I had done.
Wow.
And I've worked for the State Planning Commission and the census, and one of the worst things I ever did was I was a cleanup boy for a small meat packing plant up in Atascadero.
Ooh.
And I would go in about 3 o'clock and work till like 10 or so and clean up after they had processed all the meat for that day. And sometimes you'd have to go in and carry a quarter beef out of the truck and into the thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get it up on up because you have to hang it on a hook when you get in the building. And sometimes, you know, it would slip and you'd be like, oh no, you couldn't quite get it up. And the things weigh like 200 pounds and you're trying to, oh my gosh.
Wow. Then Rocky comes in, starts practicing.
But the best thing I ever did, Knott's Berry Farm, being a cowboy.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah. Nothing's
so
ever been that fun.
Yeah, I mean, we get to scare kids, you know, and that was, to me, that was on my bucket list for me.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to Knott's as a kid and being scared shitless because of these tall guys.
Yeah.
I mean, and in those days, they hired very tall guys that were like 6-something whatever to give you that cowboy-esque flavor. Now they hire people like Steve and I.
Yeah.
And so...
my son reminded me of a story when he was younger and we were on the train and we had those big refillable soda... cups.
Yeah.
And the cowboy big guy walks over, grabs it from my son, and takes a drink out of it.
Mm-hmm.
This was pre-COVID. But took a drink out of it, and he was like just frozen still. And then he hands back the cup to my son and walks away.
We would get away with so much crap.
Yeah.
I remember real quick, our friend Gino, he was a cowboy too, also on the train. And it was hot. It was during summer. And there was this one annoying kid in the last car, and it was just like, God, kid, shut the hell up. He was just like, you ain't real cowboy, you ain't real gun, you know, one of those kind of kids or whatever. So we go into the door, and Gino goes, follow my lead. I said, okay. Well, we had those Super Soakers when they first came out, and we just pumped them up like crazy.
Yeah.
We're just about to pull into the station. And Gino walks out and goes, ladies and gentlemen, our impression of Bigfoot Rapids. And we just unloaded on this kid. And the parents didn't say anything at all. And we, and as soon as our guns were emptied, we walked in and round of applause because everybody knew how annoyed this kid was, how annoying this kid was. And then we sat at the edge where the, because it's the last car next, right behind the engine or the tender is, it's half seating and then half baggage, like a mail car. So we would sit there and wait and say goodbye to everybody as they're going out. The mother comes up to us and goes, thank you so much. He's been a pain in the ass all day long. So we knew we were not going to get in trouble or anything like that, you know, which was great.
All right, you mentioned American Sign Language. Gino and I were robbing the train. We walked into this car, and it was filled with a bunch of deaf people.
Mm-hmm.
And Gino's dad was deaf.
Right.
So he knew sign language. And so we walk in, and he starts talking there. Look, and they signed, you know, where David goes, oh, and he started signing them. Oh, they're like, yeah, this is cool. And they're going back and forth. And so he walked to one guy and goes, so you got any money? And the guy goes, no. So I gave the sign for bullshit. And the place went crazy.
Yeah. You get opportunities like that. It's fun.
It's fun.
How about you?
I was thinking one that was good or bad because I didn't know every day was where I would be. I was a substitute teacher
for like
two years. So on a given day, the class could be totally chill and easy, if depending on the grade.
Or you get a bunch of assholes.
Or I get sent to a middle school and they're all a-holes.
They're all devil children.
Yeah, you know, you turn your back for a second, somebody throws something at you, you know, like...
I would throw something back at them.
Yeah, and I was, you know, too nervous to get...
To do anything.
Yeah, to do anything, you know, to get reported, because that was how I was getting by, you know. It was like $100 for... It was easy work, usually.
Right.
Usually they'd like leave you with a video or something just easy. But you just never knew, depending on
the
age.
Can you imagine if whatever, one of those videos, whatever, you pop it in, you press play, and they go, run! Run now! Not good.
I remember one time they left Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And Steve Martin has that famous monologue where he's saying to Edie McClurg, like, I want my fucking car. Like, he kept saying it over and over again. And the kids were all looking at me like, and I'm like, your teacher left this for you. You know, it was like Thanksgiving or something.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
And I was like, hey, that's not on me.
Hey, it could have been worse. It could have been Debbie Does Dallas.
It could have been.
You never know.
Teacher's other video.
Behind the green door.
Well, when she finally, he gets to the end and she looks at him and just goes, well, I guess you're just fucked.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, she said that.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So that was a good or bad one, depending, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jobs, you're going to get good ones, you're going to get bad ones, you just got to go through them, bite the bullet sometimes, try to have as much fun as you can.
Yeah.
With them, you know, and then get the hell out of there to get something better. That's a little bit more tolerable.
Yeah, if your coworkers are cool, it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Suffer together.
Well, today is also National Fairy Tale Day. So we thought we would kind of give you guys a little bit of something of the truth behind certain fairy tales.
Mm.
So it's going to go back and forth between Steve and Forrest there. And the first one is going to be, I think, Little Red Riding Hood with it. And of course, you know, especially Disney sugarcoats a lot of it. But these are what actually has happened.
The originals.
In the originals.
Riding Hood.
So, yeah. So, whoever wants to go first on this one.
Looking good.
Steve, you wanted to take number one? No? Okay.
Go ahead.
Little Red Riding Hood. Little Red Riding Hood eats her grandmother's teeth. What? There are a lot of versions of Little Red Riding Hood, and the one thing that all of the oldest versions have in common is that poor Little Red is tricked by the wolf into eating her own grandmother. One of the most gruesome versions of the story, it replaces the character of the wolf with an ogre. The ogre hurries to Little Red's grandmother's house, eats the grandmother, uses her intestines to latch the door, and keeps her blood, teeth, and jaws in the kitchen cupboard before Little Red arrived.
Oh, jeez.
When Red finally arrives at the house, she tells the ogre, whom she mistakes for her grandmother, quote, grandmother, I am hungry. The ogre tells her to go into the cupboard to get herself some rice.
my God.
Little Red reaches into the cupboard, takes her grandmother's teeth, and tells the ogre, "Grandmother, these things are very hard." This rice is crunchy. She eats them anyway, then continues to eat her grandmother's jaw and drink her blood. My goodness.
Cute story.
Wow. Right?
Cute story.
Good night. Good night, kids. Wow. Sleep tight.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. What? There's bed bugs now?
Lights out.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
Okay. The Little Mermaid is so tortured that she tries to end her own life. Now, in the original version of The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen, despite her personal sacrifices, the prince doesn't fall in love with her and marries a princess from a neighboring state. The mermaid is left heartbroken. Her sisters try to help by speaking with the witch, who provides them with a knife so that she can stab the prince in the heart and revert back into a mermaid. Rather than killing the man she loves and suffering from a broken heart, she jumps off the ship and hopes of ending her own life.
Wait. But if she's jumping off her own, she's going to land in the water, so she's a mermaid. So it's like not really going to...
What, didn't she, like, switch to human form, and then she's just trying to drown herself?
But something like that. I mean, you know.
Her thighs are touching. She can't. It's hard to swim with your thighs touching each other.
So you're, that much closer to being a mermaid.
You're trying to make sense of that one point when we got Little Red Riding Hood eating her grandmother's teeth.
Well, they're crunchy.
Yeah.
It's like Captain Crunch, you know.
Boy. All right, here.
This next one is one of my favorites.
So we're moving to Cinderella. We know Cinderella, you know, the slipper fits and happily ever after. But not in the original. Cinderella's stepsisters cut off parts of their feet so they can marry a prince.
What?
The original German version recorded by the Brothers Grimm, the stepmother asked one of her daughters to cut off her heel and the other her toes.
We have ways of making the shoe fit.
When the prince finally finds the rightful owner of the shoe, he and Cinderella marry. The stepsisters, however, get their eyes pecked out by the doves.
What?
And are blinded for the rest of their lives.
It's turned into an Alfred Hitchcock film. What the hell?
They made a movie of it back in the 70s where they actually cut off the toe and cut off her heel.
Whoa.
That was bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's love or not. And I mean, gee, many crickets, just a... Wow. All right. Okay.
Okay, for those of you who have often wanted to do something about your conscience, you know, because it causes you not to do things you want to do.
Nagging at you.
Well, in Pinocchio, he had a solution for this. The Adventures of Pinocchio was the original story of the living puppet Pinocchio who seeks to become a real boy. Written by Italian author Carlo Collodi in 1883, when Pinocchio finally returns after running away, a talking cricket tells him a great truth, that young children should obey their parents rather than being... A moralizing and guiding voice throughout the story, like in the Disney adaption, Pinocchio gets mad and takes a hammer at a cricket and crushes
him. Oh, my God!
Well, he's keeping him up at night, you know, when you can't find it and it's...
Oh, my God.
Knock off that damn chirping!
We've all been there.
Wow.
Right? Ooh.
Oh, my God. Really? Wow.
Come here, Jiminy.
Ain't gonna take her shit anymore.
Oh, my God.
Cleared his conscience.
Wow. Yeah, that's one way to clear your conscience. Absolutely.
All right. Turning to the Arabian Nights here and Aladdin.
Oh, no.
In order to steal all of his stuff back, Aladdin has his wife distract the sorcerer.
What?
Aladdin tells his wife, "Put on your most beautiful dress and receive the magician with smiles, leading him to believe that you have forgotten me. Invite him to sup with you and say you wish to taste the wine of his country. He will go for some, and while he is gone, I will tell you what to do."
Hello, Selah.
So he has his wife sleep with the sorcerer so he can steal his stuff back.
Wow. Were they from Utah?
Probably.
Neither. They were part of the lifestyle. You never know.
That's a magic carpet ride, I think.
That's a whole new world right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, this last one here is, this is one of my favorite Disney movies about Rapunzel.
Really?
What was it?
Tangled?
Tangled. The story of Rapunzel, first recorded by the Brothers Grimm, we've talked about them before, is very similar to any other retelling. An enchantress catches an expecting couple stealing vegetables from her garden and allows them to take them as long as they agree to give her their child.
Fair train.
Rapunzel is thus locked in a tower all her life, where she grows her hair to extreme lengths so that the enchantress can use her hair as a ladder when she calls to her, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." It's quite a bit darker, however, when the prince enters the story. He watches Rapunzel let down her hair and tries calling to her. It works, and he continues to see her. The enchantress finds out. She waits for him at the top of the tower. Rather than casting a spell on the unsuspecting prince, he jumps out of the tower and lands on a thorn bush that gouges his eyes out.
Oh, my God. Holy cow.
That's why we use the word grim.
Grim. I think the Brothers Grimm really stay true to their last name.
Oh, yeah. A lot of great stories. And like I say, some of them have been made into movies, and it's really weird.
Well, if you're going to go that route, absolutely. Holy cow. Yeah, well, so there you go, guys. The darker side of fairy tales that you tell your children. So enjoy. Of course, you know, we wanted to do it our way and give you the news that like that. So there you go. Have fun with it. Let's see. We're about, you know, 4 minutes out. So should we go ahead and just do the game?
Let's do the game.
All right. Let's go ahead and let's fire it up. And there it is. Here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the new game sensation that actually inspired Colin Jost and Michael Che to start writing each other's jokes. Quiz me, quiz you.
And there we go. Of course, we got intern Christopher out there.
Hello.
There he is.
He snuck up behind me.
Hello.
Let's start with question number one, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Salmon P. Chase was the first person to be on the U.S. what?
Sean. Stock exchange.
No.
What? Say it again, please.
Got a buzzer myself.
Salmon P. Chase was the first person to be on the U.S. what?
Steve. Dollar.
Yep.
Really? Wow.
The dollar bill. First person to be on it. He was the U.S. Treasury Secretary at the time.
Before Washington then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago.
Interesting. Wow. Well, because Washington was already president, so he couldn't do it because, you know, he's in office already. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, so question number two. What year did Buddy Holly and the Crickets record their smash hit, "That'll Be the Day"?
Oh, Sean. 1957.
Hey, first try.
Wow. Got it.
And where did the song originate from?
His pen?
No, his mind.
Oh, his mind. No.
He saw a John Wayne movie.
Uh-huh.
And where John Wayne says the line, "Oh, that'll be the day, Pilgrim," and wrote the song.
He left out Pilgrim.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he couldn't
sing.
It was copywritten. So,
that's right. That's right.
But you say, "That'll be the day."
Love Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Where were tortilla chips invented?
Forest. The United States.
Yes. Would anybody like to try and guess the state?
Sean. Texas.
No.
Damn it.
Steve. New Mexico.
No.
Damn it.
Not a bad guess, but no.
Forest. Arizona.
No.
Damn it.
Sean.
California.
Yes.
Kept going west, my son.
Mm-hmm.
Just moved right across.
Yes, we did.
Hawaii was next.
California, right here in Los Angeles.
Though. Wow.
1940s.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, question number four.
Hey, something that's older than me.
That's amazing.
Not true. You wish it was, though. Yeah. All right. So this is a fill-in-the-blank one. Frank Sinatra's last performance was done on the closing night of his blank tournament.
of his blank tournament.
I have no idea. Forrest. Celebrity golf tournament.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Celebrity golf tournament.
Probably in Palm Springs. Holy, or
I think you made that up.
Well, it happened today, so. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's performance question of five.
Nice pull, buddy. Wow. All right.
I thought that was going to take longer. That really just came out of there. Like,
it just Palm Springs came to mind and celebrities and golf.
All right.
Palm Springs. Oh, yeah.
Which state was the first African American member of Congress from?
Oh, shoot. I just read about this like last night.
Sean.
Virginia?
No.
I can't remember. I really don't.
Forrest. Arkansas.
No.
I'll take a stab.
Okay.
Georgia.
No, that wasn't really a good stab.
Sean. Alabama.
No.
Are we in the vicinity?
Alaska?
Yeah. Hey, y'all.
No.
What y'all doing up here?
It's definitely very repeatable.
Forrest.
Forrest.
Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Mississippi. Yeah, senator. Ah. The more you know.
It was like 1870, I think.
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah, about your birthday. Yeah.
I actually did read.
When the paper first came out.
You just didn't remember it.
I just couldn't remember
the
statement.
It came hot off the press.
All right, question number six. What song did the Beatles release as their first U.S. single?
Oh, God.
Forrest. I want to hold your hand.
No.
Sean. Please Me.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I was just saying I want to hold your hand.
Please me.
I
want to
hold
your
foot.
All right. Question number seven. What year did Your Show of Shows premiere on NBC?
Oh my God.
Steve was there. You were in the audience, weren't you?
I know.
Sid Caesar, man.
They acted me up on stage and I met Imogene Coca.
Several times.
I don't know. Forrest. 1950.
Yeah, that is correct.
It is?
Stole it right under Steve's feet. Pulled the rug right from under him.
I was just getting this going. I just threw out a year.
Yeah, and he got it.
That's funny.
You know who wrote for the show shows?
Sid Caesar?
No.
Mel Brooks. And Carl Reiner.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I know it was a packed. Was Woody Allen one of them too?
I don't remember if Woody Allen was.
Maybe that's before his time.
All right. Number eight. All right. Which state was the first to tax gasoline?
Steve. California.
No.
it makes sense, seems like it.
Yeah, that's for sure. But you are close, though.
Sean. Oregon.
Yeah, that is correct.
Oh, Oregon. Hey.
One cent per gallon.
Those bastards.
Oh, they're gouging people.
Crazy. All right, question number nine. All right. What do you have to be in the NBA to win the Gottlieb Trophy? The Eddie Gottlieb Trophy. What do you have to be in the NBA?
Four. Sean.
Sean? I heard Sean first.
6'5".
No.
Forrest. A rookie.
I'll give it to you. Rookie of the Year.
Rookie
of the Year. Look at that award. All right, question number 10.
Nope. 6'6".
All right, I'm pretty sure with this one, I gotta be careful on this one.
Oh boy!
What movie made the word "babylicious" famous?
What movie, "babylicious"?
Steve. Parenthood.
No.
Sean. Friday.
No.
Babylicious.
B-A-B-E-L-I-C-I.
Oh, Babelicious.
Forrest.
Clueless?
No.
Babelicious. Steve. Valley Girl.
No.
Can't be that famous.
Sean.
Sean?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
No. If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure they like to bang their heads to songs.
Oh!
Steve! Wayne's World!
Yeah! Oh, I was thinking Night at the Roxbury.
That's right. That's right. Now I remember.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the memory finally came back in.
Yeah. Hey, who doesn't do that when they hear that part of the song?
Oh, you got to do that.
You
got to
do it, no matter where you are.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we had a fun show. A whole lot of nothing, but we had fun doing it. That's for damn sure. Steve, thanks for coming in again, buddy. Always appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
On board Westbound 747.
Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm occasionally on Instagram, Hartle Theater.
So are we. We're occasionally on. And Steve is just there.
I'm just out there. If you really care, I'm there.
Yeah. But you can find Steve on Facebook if you want to bother him and friend him, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't use Facebook, but I will go on because my family's on there
right. And
other things.
But if you still want to friend Steve, you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Steve Silva.
There you go. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, don't forget, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And, of course, our favorite people out there is on Lime City Radio. Thank you guys for listening so much to our show. Of course, you can catch all of our past shows Wednesday through Friday as well, but at noon. And you guys are almost caught up to all the live shows. You got a few left to go. So, and once again, if you enjoy the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us. We can't grow this show without you, so help us spread the word about the show. And just kind of tell everybody, say, hey, we checked this thing out. You might want to listen to because we enjoyed it. They're an awful lot of fun because, damn it, we are. So there you go. Until next week, hopefully the rain will it's kind of subsided here for a little while. It's still overcast, so we got a little bit more sun coming out. But wherever you guys are at, if you're trying to stay warm, please stay warm. And be good to each other. And we'll see you next week, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Will you tell the folks back home I nearly made it? At offers, but don't know which one to take.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.